Today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who brings life out of death, who brings healing out of hurting, beautiful things out of dust, joy out of suffering, who calls us out of our sin and into his glory, and welcomes us from darkness into his light. We celebrate all these good and beautiful things today because our Savior lives. But sometimes we forget how beautiful this glorious and joyful and bright life of the resurrection is, until we remember the dark, dusty, sometimes hurtful places that he calls us out of. So today I want to share a little bit with you about my experience last year and how that journey has shaped what the resurrection means to me in my celebration of Easter this year. Last semester, I struggled deeply with issues of self-worth. It became a sort of depression that often felt like spiritual warfare. I told myself day after day how I was worthless, and I could come up with piles of awful things to say about myself, and I could tell on some level that it wasn't true, but I just couldn't believe, or couldn't bring myself to believe anything else. I knew that this was not who God said I was, because I had friends going through similar struggles. I was usually one to remind them that they were a beloved child of God, but I couldn't own this truth for myself for whatever reason. I went through my weeks trying to find worth in accomplishments, which of course was a dead end. Talking about personal strengths in any way gave me so much anxiety that I avoided it whenever possible. I ended up feeling like a burden to everyone, and after I got through my obligations each day, I would somewhat go back to my room and just hide for the rest of the evening. I continued to pray just to maintain a relationship with God, but I made sure to only talk with God about other people or other things. I knew I wasn't hiding anything from him, but I just didn't know how to go there. Everything was dark and heavy, and I continued to put on a front and act strong, but I was tearing myself up inside, and I decided that it was fine to do that as long as I didn't hurt anyone else. Throughout this time, I really appreciated church, specifically this church. During that time, I felt very disconnected from God and felt dead spiritually, but church was the place where I saw life. God was alive here. With all of you, I experienced baptisms, confirmations, commissioning, and communion, and church had a heartbeat even when I felt like I didn't. So as a side note, thank you to all of you for bringing light into that dark place. But as I said before, I just kept kind of plugging my way through, figuring that as long as it didn't hurt anyone else, only me, that it was fine. But that didn't last long because it began to affect my ability to love, and thankfully I had some great friends who noticed that I wasn't myself and called me out on that one. I decided to go ask a professor to pray. She helped me to spend some time in listening prayer and to seek the root of where those battles started. I was reminded of my semester in Peru before when we were studying Exodus with a group of students. One part that really resonated with our whole group was that little argument that Moses has with God, you know, the one where he tries to convince God that he's not the right one for the job. He asks, "Who am I? And what if they don't believe me? Or who do I even say that you are?" And our personal favorite as students trying to speak in Spanish all the time, "But God, I've never been very eloquent." And my professor, who was praying with me that day, helped me to see that I was probably not trusting God. Just like Moses had to trust God, that God was who he was and that would get him through anything, I needed to trust God for all the ways that I felt inadequate. I broke down crying right there in her office as I asked forgiveness for not trusting in God's promises. She continued to pray over me and remind me of his faithfulness, that God would remind me of his faithfulness. Memories of leaning on God's faithfulness as Barnabas in our dorms, or when I was unsure of how to navigate conversations about faith with my host family in Peru, came flooding back, and I began praising God. After that day, I felt like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders, and the whole world felt brighter. I still had a long way to go, and I continued praying the armor of God on daily, just as the professor had suggested. And I continued finding pieces and parts of my life that I needed to loosen my grip on and trust God with control. And I also spent more time looking for and celebrating God's faithfulness, and it's everywhere. I've seen God's faithfulness in jobs that I didn't think that I would find for after graduation, and scholarships that covered that last little bit of tuition that I wasn't sure how I was going to pay, in friends that just have conversations about tough things and call out just honest strengths in one another, in professors who speak truth, in testimonies of young women in Uganda who've lost everything but cling to God's love, in churches and their leadership, in Sabbath rest, in peaceful prayer and quiet mornings, and the list could go on and on. But I guess that experience really began to show me the significance of the resurrection in my life, that God sent his one and only Son to die for our sins. I was broken in the sin of lying to myself, lying to others about how I was doing, disrespecting God's creation, and not trusting in God's promises. And I thought that because I had failed, I was a failure and I needed to fix things, and once I achieved, that everything would be better. But the problem wasn't that I'm a failure, because I do fail and I will continue to do that as life goes on. That's normal, but the problem is that I'm a sinner and I need a savior. And this is the glorious truth of Good Friday, that Jesus died for our sins, that he died for my mistrust. But if we only live in the truth, that truth, we're missing out on part of the story, because we are people of the resurrection. That Jesus conquered death and he reigns victorious. To me, this means that the lies that I believed in my sin have been put to death. And the truth of who I am is found in the resurrection. It's for freedom that Christ set us free. And it's in Christ's life that we find ours. Christ's resurrection means everything to us, because it means that Christ, the life that Christ died for, was worth it. And part of this resurrection truth that has always meant the most to me has been that we have a relationship with God our Father. Just as I said before, that even when I felt like I couldn't pray for myself, I held on to prayer, because that was the relationship with God my Father through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that Christ died for on the cross. And that we always have this precious blessing of the resurrection, that the veil was torn and that we've been restored to relationship with God. I mean, what a beautiful thing. God sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, or Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and I can live in relationship with my King, the creator of everything, and that blows my mind. We live free from fear and condemnation because Jesus not only died, but he lives. He invites us into this resurrection and redemption, and he lives in the church and in our hearts, and he's present with us every day. He makes his truth about who we are known to us through his resurrection, that he lives. And we know that we are purchased by his blood and invited into his glory through the resurrection, and our identity is secure with him. How good and beautiful it is to worship a God who lives.